Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, we had your guy on today, Marcus Freeman, new head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And it sounded like the program is going to be in good hands.
Yeah, no, I am very excited based on what I've seen so far. We talk about winning the press conference all the time, but this felt bigger than that, Chris. This felt like a guy who really understands where his feet are and what's expected, not only to continue what Notre Dame has built, but to also continue to build on that now and climb higher towards those goals. If you missed that, this was us getting ready to catch up with Notre Dame's head football coach, Marcus Freeman, and talk about the whirlwind that's gone on in his life since being named Notre Dame's new head coach.
I really didn't know what to expect, you know, and I'm just taking it day by day, minute by minute, Mike, and you know, I'm actually sitting in a high school in a coach's office and, I said, I got to get on the phone real quick. And so it hasn't stopped and it won't stop. And you know what? I'm excited for the challenge and opportunity to lead this program.
Coach, going back to last week when this process was beginning to unfold, Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, met with 17 captains. And from his words, they made it abundantly clear that they did not want to change the culture that they had built it. They had owned it. They didn't want him to screw it up with the coaching hire. What did it mean to you when you heard that? And if you could, what would you say to define what exactly defines the culture of Notre Dame football right now?
Well, I think what does it mean to me is just that we have unbelievable leaders. And that's what Notre Dame's about, man. We have exceptional thinkers. We have guys that aren't afraid to go against the norm and aren't afraid to speak their mind, but they're also the leaders of our program and the leaders of our society. And so that, to me, is what those actions tell me about my team and about these leaders. And so, you know, our culture is one of toughness, man. Our culture is players-led. You know, we have leadership, but our players drive our culture. And it's a culture of doing everything right. It's a culture of never taking the easy route. And we define it in different ways. But when you talk about in a general terms, what is your culture like? It is a culture of toughness, a culture of never taking the easy route. And so my job is to continue to enhance that, right? And that's not change it, but enhance the things we do. I think one thing being, hey, the relationship between the coach and the players, like it all has to be together. And we have to understand that we're doing this thing together. And that's why I'm so excited to lead this team.
Notre Dame head football coach Marcus Freeman with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Marcus, you mentioned that relationship. We all saw the reaction video, you coming in to the Notre Dame locker room in the stadium and the embrace from the team. You did come into this, you know, while this culture had a lot of it formed already here. How do you build that kind of relationship between coach and players in the 11 months that you've been with these guys? Because it seems pretty remarkable.
Well, I think one is time. It takes time. It trust isn't built, right? Trust isn't just given, freely given. It's built over time. And so I think it's spending quality time with your players. It's making sure they know you on a personal level. It's having your family around, having them over to your house. But all you know, I think at the end of the day, it's about being honest and being real with them, you know, and letting them know that you're in the battles with them. I've been on the other side of this. I've been in the seats, and I've known what it's like to say, hey, this is your fault or this is us versus you. Or I know how it's been to be, hey, this is us together. And I know that I like to lead with the style of making sure we are in this thing together, through the good, through the bad. Everything we do is together, and obviously that's where a lot of the trust is built.
Coach, I know it's been a whirlwind for you just taking over the job, but I know it's been busy for you with the recruiting trail. I know you've got the top five class this year, and you've got a top three class in 2023. But I wanted to ask you, what is the most pressing business for you in terms of making sure that you sustain what you've built at this program over the course of the last year, and then you build on that and improve that moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's going to change really day by day, week by week right now. Okay, and so right now, it's as a coaching staff, we're on the road recruiting. And so we have a couple days left on this recruiting cycle to make sure that everybody that's committed and everybody that plans on signing at Notre Dame is ready to go. The other side of it is making sure our players know that, hey, your coaches are gone this week. The expectations to do the things the right way, to finish strong academically, have not changed and won't waver. And so that was the meeting we had yesterday. And so now when you talk about we get back on Friday, now the focus is going to be no longer recruiting because we're off the road, but in terms of how can we get this team prepared so that January 1st they're ready to have a successful bowl game versus Oklahoma State. And so that's kind of the mindset of every day kind of and each week as we're leading up to this bowl game.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Notre Dame head football coach Marcus Freeman on the Goodyear hotline. Coach, you have been adamant in every soundbite I've heard from you since you got the job. You can come to Notre Dame and win a national championship. This has been a program that's been great over the last stretch of years, double-digit win seasons. How do you get from that point to being one of the very good teams in college football to being a team that wins a national championship?
I think we're close. You know, we're two of the past 3 years we've reached the college football playoff. So how do you beat close, right? How do you close that gap? And I think one is continue to bring in the right fit for Notre Dame, the players that are the most talented players in the country, but are the fit for your team. And I think we have to continue to never settle in recruiting. We have to go after the best players that are the right fit for our program. And that's number one. Number two is continue to enhance our culture. I said it earlier, just how do we continue to make this team closer? How do we continue to make it almost emotional at times that, you know what, you're playing for your coach, your coach is coaching for your players. And to me, when you have an emotional attachment to somebody or something, that's when great things are created, because it's that love, that fear of letting somebody you love down. And that's what we're trying to create.
Marcus, your junior running back Kyren Williams said it meant everything for him to see Notre Dame hire a person of color, because he is a person of color, and seeing the university embrace that diversity and moving forward in that direction. Do you feel the weight of being the second black head coach in Notre Dame's history?
Well, I think the weight of being the head coach of Notre Dame carries a tremendous, you know, responsibility. But especially also being a minority, a black head coach, period, in the college football. It's just understanding that you represent a lot of people, and that you represent not only your family, but a lot of people that might come behind you. You want to make sure you do it the right way. You want to make sure you give this thing everything you got, but you do it with integrity, and you do everything the right way to make sure those behind you have success.
Coach Freeman, you had the statement that's already, I've seen printed on Notre Dame t-shirts, been put everywhere, that Notre Dame will change you if you let it. I thought it was very poignant to someone who loves that university. It spoke a lot to me. For you, how has Notre Dame changed you? And I want to go to this. Have you found a spot on campus that's the most special to you yet? Because I think everyone involved in that institution finds some spot. It's a very special place. So have you kind of found that spot for you around campus yet?
I think right now the spot I like to go to is at the Basilica, and there's right over top of the doorway, it says God Country Notre Dame. And that's a spot that I love to reflect at, and because that to me speaks to me, obviously, my faith and the faith that is promoted at the University of Notre Dame, you know, our country, and doing everything, understanding that those that have sacrificed for your country before you, and then Notre Dame, doing it at Notre Dame. And there's something about Notre Dame that, as I said earlier, will change you if you let it. You know, a lot of people might have the misconception, I'm coming to Notre Dame, I'm going to change Notre Dame. No, we're going to change the way you do things in Notre Dame. No, no, no. Notre Dame's never going to change. You have to embrace the things that make Notre Dame special. And that's what I've done. In 11 months, I don't think I came in maybe with this mentality, but now understanding that, man, this place is special. The people that are there, the people that are spread across the world, the network you can join, this place is special if you embrace it. If you understand what makes Notre Dame special and you don't try to change it, you don't try to say, I'm going to do my own thing, but instead have the mentality of embracing those things that make Notre Dame special, it can change your life for the good.
Talking with new Notre Dame head football coach Marcus Freeman on Canty and Golic Jr. And coach, last one for me. I know a lot of the pundits have been critical, saying that age and inexperience in the head coaching role could be a concern for you in terms of how you're going to, you know, approach the job and whether or not you're going to be able to have early success. But I felt like this was a strength of yours just because you weren't that far removed from being a college football player yourself. Do you see that the same way?
I think the ability to relate to young people is definitely a positive trait, you know, that you can get into their heads. You can say, hey, I was just in your shoes. I'm on the other side now. Here's the things that I've learned that I know it's going to take to have success. But the ability to relate to these guys is also the ability to earn their trust, right? If you can relate to them and you can be able to have conversations with them, you can earn their trust. And so I'm going to lead the way I've always led. And that's with my heart. That's with setting clear expectations and holding people accountable. And that will never change, because that's why I've had success as a position coach and obviously as a coordinator. Now I will use those same philosophy as a head coach.
Coach, that I have no doubt. Really excited, looking forward to it. Congratulations again. We know you got a lot going on the recruiting trail, but best of luck in now and in the Fiesta Bowl upcoming against Oklahoma State. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys. Hope to make you proud, brother.
Coach, one last thing. Don't take it easy on Jalen Snead. He's one of my guys out of Hilton Head High School down in South Carolina. Don't take it easy on that guy when he gets there, all right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I sure won't.
That is the beautiful sound of Notre Dame's breaking moves, getting the right guy in the right position as the head coach of the football team.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Anyone else get chills? Was that just me?
God. Listen, man, he can inspire it. He can do it now. Like,
yup. Yup.
Hey, you got to feel good about your head coach, bro. Y'all got one.
We kind of nailed this.
Y'all got one.
We kind of nailed this, man. I'm feeling really good about this. If you missed any of that interview, make sure you can check it out on the podcast. Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman, kind enough to give us a few minutes today while he's out on the road recruiting. Coming up next, though, I want to take a look. A high school athlete who had to deal with adversity. Being a part of something viral is not always what it appears, but he's found a way to come out of the other side better for it. We'll talk to him next. You're on ESPN Radio.
Mike Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, I think we got to go out there right now because we're about to bring on somebody that was a social media star and now was starring for a high school state championship team.
Yeah, we're hoping to get to talk to Dennis Collin, who sent the internet into an absolute tizzy this weekend. He's a high school football player whose East Orange High School just won a triple overtime thriller to cap an undefeated season for a state championship. But when he tweeted out, at JerseyStar97.3, from Popeyes to state champion, East Orange state champs, you might recognize, if you're watching on ESPN+, the image on the left. You've seen the often-used GIF meme of the little boy looking side-eyed while in the line at Popeyes. That boy is Dennis Collin, who grew up to now be this high school state champion, and from what we have heard, broadcast media hopeful one day, and just, first off, aged me tremendously, Chris, to see that the young boy in the meme is now a full-grown man here who's joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Dennis Collin, again, high school football player and state champion here. So first off, congratulations. How was that moment for you, a triple overtime state championship win, Dennis?
It felt real good. Like, just us winning the state championship for the city since 2007. We worked real hard for this, especially just to end it just like that. Really big trust.
Dennis, I got to ask this question because Mike and I both used the meme or the GIF of you when you were in the line at Popeyes. Have you actually ever used that meme or GIF on social media?
To be honest, I've never done that before, but I just use the facial expression on myself because I am the meme.
And what an incredible thing to say. So Chris and I are both older. We didn't really grow up with Twitter as a thing our entire life. You've grown up in the internet age. So walk us through when this moment first happened here and kind of how this was for you to see yourself go viral for the first time.
Yeah, when it first happened, I kind of felt real sad. And I was like, it was like a bully thing. And I was like, oh, boy, I'm about to get real bully. I cried the first time I seen it. I cried. But then years passed, met new people, and I got over it. And, it kind of actually changed my life. Met new people and grew good relationships.
So changed your life in a positive way, so to speak?
Yeah.
And Dennis, I wanted to ask you about the bullying because I know when you have that much attention on you, it can be tough to kind of overcome some of those things where you have classmates or kids that are in grades above you attack you in that way because of all the attention. So how did you work past being bullied and all of those types of things that came along with all the attention that you were receiving from going viral?
At first I kind of did take it personal, but then in my mind I was like, it's just words, not like they're touching me. So I said, just leave it at that. I mean, I'm the meme. It's not like they're getting embarrassed like that. So I just took it, said, whatever.
So have you embraced it now? We're talking to Dennis Collin here, viral meme sensation and high school football state champion at East Orange High School in New Jersey on the Goodyear Hotline. Would you say you've come to fully embrace it now? Or are you happy being someone that can say, yeah, I'm the meme?
Yeah, officially.
officially and truly. It's a beautiful thing. What would your message be for other kids maybe going through something like that?
Never take it personal. It's just words. Because guess what? Sooner or later, it's gonna turn around and become a good thing. Just like how it is for me.
There you go. Finding a positive spin all of this and getting to cap it off with a state championship win. Dennis, we can't thank you enough for giving us the time, for giving us one of the more enjoyable memes on the internet, and congratulations again on the state championship. Best of luck with everything going forward, man.
All right. Thank you.
Again, Dennis Collin here, viral meme star, side-eyed kid in the Popeyes line. And Chris, I'm glad to hear it has a happy ending, because that is something you and I didn't grow up with, the internet like this, to experience that kind of attention online. It's a wild thing to experience as an adult, let alone as a young person like he was.
No doubt about it. I mean, people take shots at us on social media, and that's just one of the things that comes along with the territory, with the profession that you and I have chose. But, I mean, with kids, cyberbullying is one of the biggest issues that they have to deal with in today's day and age. And so I'm glad that he was able to find a way to move past that and be able to put perspective on it and then work past it and ultimately accomplish what he's accomplished, being a high school state champion in football, and then being an aspiring broadcast journalist as well. Like, I'm excited to see where his journey is going to ultimately take him. But, certainly a positive that came out of a negative.
Yeah, said he's hoping to play football in the future, but plans on attending college and would like to get into sports media at some point here. So we could take credit and say we officially gave him his start in sports media today here on Canty and Golic Jr. Coming up next, we will head to the gutter in the NFL. Chris Canty will give you the top five from NFL's Week 13 next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. This is ESPN Radio.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports all NBA teams will be sending lists of unvaccinated players to the league office by Friday. Starting January 15th, unvaccinated players who leave the U.S. won't be allowed back into the country, and that includes those playing road games in Toronto. After Monday night's Patriots win over the Bills, New England quarterback Mac Jones on throwing only 3 passes.
Yeah, it was just a crazy game to be a part of, but we knew if we didn't turn the ball over, we'd be good. So it was just a weird day, but at the end of the day, you just get more points than the other team, and it's a great day.
Washington quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick will have season-ending arthroscopic hip surgery. He hasn't played since getting hurt in a Week 1 loss to the Chargers. College basketball's Jimmy V Classic doubleheader tonight at Madison Square Garden, 13th-ranked Tennessee against Texas Tech, followed by number 6 Villanova against Syracuse. Coverage at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, TV, and the app. And ESPN's Tim Kirkjian wins the Baseball Writers Career Excellence Award. He'll be honored next summer in Cooperstown.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, I know I got to get to my bottom five, but I am appalled at your Home Alone take and how you're saying that it's not a quality Christmas film. I mean, I felt like we were here as teammates, like being on the same page, and I couldn't imagine that we could be further apart when it comes to our viewpoints on this holiday classic.
Listen, so this all started because apparently Josh Hart with the New Orleans Pelicans said that it's not a Christmas movie.
Which is ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
That is. We can agree on that.
Yes.
Entirely ridiculous. All my point is, it's an overrated Christmas movie.
I don't understand how you can say that, though. It's just one of those things that it's the holidays, like you, Home Alone is on, you're going to watch it. Like, it's just one of those things. For nostalgia purposes, whatever. Like, we realize now it's not the same movie that it once was when we first watched it as kids. Maybe I was a little bit older than you, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, but for nostalgia purposes, like Home Alone, Kevin McAllister, that's a good holiday film. It's fun for everybody in the family.
The family doesn't even like Kevin McAllister. Why am I supposed to like him? Like, dog, they left you in 2 movies. Take the hint. They don't like you. Why should I be asked to like you? If I want to feel nostalgic watching a holiday movie, I'll turn Die Hard on.
Okay, so now you know what? I feel like I have to add that as honorable mention to my bottom 5, so let's get to it.
There we go. Let's hit it.
Which teams were great?
Tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
All right. Mike gave you the good. Now I'm going to give you the bad and the ugly when it comes to the bottom five. Let's kick it off with number five.
Number five.
I'm going to go with Andy Dalton, now the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. The Red Rifle, well, let's just say he was firing blanks on Sunday when they played the Arizona Cardinals. It was his fifth career game where he had four interceptions, and those four turnovers led to 24 of the Cardinals' 33 points. But that's not the kicker, Gojo. Here's the kicker. The field position for the Arizona Cardinals after those interceptions thrown by Andy Dalton. They started Chicago at the 28, at the 15, at the 28, and at the 12-yard line. I mean, that's point-blank gimme range. Back-to-back interceptions. It was 14-0 before the Chicago Bears could even blink. And Andy Dalton, who was supposed to be Matt Nagy's choice as quarterback to give his team the best chance to be able to win games, clearly was the guy that gifted the game to the Arizona Cardinals.
Remember when Matt Nagy was really pounding on the table to make sure that guy stayed the starter and felt beholden to him? Man, that seems like a weird time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It wasn't that long ago, but it feels like that was a long time ago. Just saying. Keeping it moving at number four.
Number four.
There we go. Okay, we got the sounder from the guys behind the glass, even though that's not the official.
Oh, my God.
But let's go with this.
Okay, hold on. I just got to tell you, I literally deleted that number as I was about to kick it. So that's what happened there. Full disclosure.
Gotcha. Okay, so we're going to call an audible. We're going to go with the alert. We're going to go with Joe Mixon. And as much as I love Joe Mixon's celebratory dances once he gets into the end zone, by the way, he had the nod to Kid and Play in House Party, which was pretty awesome on Sunday against the Chargers. What wasn't awesome is Joe Mixon fumbling the bag as the Cincinnati Bengals moved it into plus territory down by 2 points after coming back from a 24-point deficit. And to make matters worse, it led to a scoop and score by the L.A. Chargers. Joe Mixon single-handedly gave the game away to the L.A. Chargers in that moment because Cincinnati had all the momentum at that point in that contest. So, Joe Mixon, for all of the dancing that I love that you do once you get into the end zone, it's going to be hard for me to forgive you for this one, bruh. You fumbled the bag in a matchup that could have put your team in the driver's seat in the AFC North.
Yep, this is usually the gift and the curse that comes with being the one willing to put yourself out there with celebration. And as a Joe Mixon fantasy coach, it was a particularly tough weekend. We're going to have to get back to the drawing board and recommit ourselves to this, like in the program, making sure he's carrying that ball around the facility from now on.
Number three.
All right, number three. It has to go to my former defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer. We talked about it yesterday in Overreaction Monday. Mike Zimmer is on the hot seat, and his decision coming out of that timeout on the last play of the game against the Detroit Lions is the reason why. Like, it's fourth and two, but it's from the 11-yard line, and with the clock, it was clearly going to be the last play of the game. And you decide to play off coverage, knowing that if you actually put your DBs on the receivers, if you try to reroute, if you disrupt the timing, chances were that your rush was going to have a chance to get home. But no, you decided to play off coverage and not give any resistance to Amon-Ra St. Brown being able to get into the route. All he does is run 2 yards into the end zone, turn around and catch the game-winning pass unencumbered. It's inexcusable what Mike Zimmer did in that situation. And let's keep in mind, it was coming out of a timeout. So that was the game plan. That was the call that you had. And that was the best defense that you could come up with in order to keep your team on the winning side of that game. And the fact that they did that is inexcusable. So that's what lands it at number three on my bottom five in week 13.
Yeah, it's like the fact that that was your best choice, that you thought, all right, this is the way I want to live in this situation. It's been emblematic of a lot of these middling teams we've seen, Chris, because we were barely a week removed from praising the Vikings for having maybe the best receiving tandem in the NFL with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. And now you just lost to the previously winless Lions. Welcome. Life comes at you fast.
Number two.
All right, Gojo, number two, I got to go to my New York Giants. And here's the thing. I can't necessarily do it on my own. I feel like I got to bring sound into this situation just to show you how egregious Joe Judge was in the post-game presser after the loss to the Miami Dolphins. Let's take a listen to the head coach of Big Blue right now.
I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays, and that's what we got to do. We got to get the ball in our players' hands, let them make plays, let them extend plays and be explosive players. And that's our focus as a team. So that's what we're looking to do. We're going to play to the players, play their strengths. So a lot of things today that really got the players involved. There are a lot of third and longs that we converted with a lot of players making big plays.
Dog, what plays are you talking about? You had 9 points in a grand total of 250 total yards of offense. What are you talking about? What explosive plays? I didn't see them. Nobody saw them. I don't get it. Where are you coming from? I don't know who he's trying to sell, Gojo. Is he trying to sell the guys in the locker room? Is he trying to sell the fan base? Is he trying to sell the media? Is he trying to sell ownership? Is he trying to sell himself? I don't know, but I didn't see any explosive plays from the Giants offense on Sunday against the Dolphins. Quite the contrary, I saw a lot of mistakes from the Giants offense on Sunday, including, for whatever reason, Mike Glennon, your starting quarterback, trying to throw the ball up in the double coverage with Javon Holland and Xavier Howard. How do you think that ended? I'm just saying, they thought that Jason Garrett was the biggest problem when it came to the Giants offense. They clipped him 2 games ago, and since then, they've scored a grand total of 22 points. I said it when they made the decision to fire Jason Garrett. He shouldn't be the only one polishing up his resume, and based on how things are trending by the Giants, and based on what we heard from their head coach, he probably won't be the only one that has to.
Giants! Giants! Help us, God!
Hear the cries from the Giants fan base right now, because it is all bad out here. We have cycled through every portion of this, from accountability to rage, now to what seems like willful ignorance of the situation. Congratulations, Giants fans. The offseason will be here soon.
Number one.
All right, number one. We got to go back to Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills defense. The entire defense. The guys were in 8 and 9 man fronts, and they still couldn't stop the New England Patriots from running the football. I mean, you could close your eyes and you could hear the physicality that that offensive line from the Patriots was playing with. And their fullback, number 47, I don't know his name, but I'm pretty sure that Terrell Edmonds, and I'm pretty sure that Matt Milano do, because that guy was bringing that wood when he was coming through there cleaning the holes for the running backs, Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. They got after it. They only threw the ball 3 times, so it wasn't a secret what the Buffalo Bills were going to face on defense when it came to that Patriots offense. They were going to run the ball, they were going to run the ball, and they were going to run it some more, and guess what? They couldn't stop it. 46 rush attempts to the tune of 222 yards. For the number one defense in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills D sure didn't look it last night. The Bills Mafia better call in and get some backup and maybe hire a hit out on Bill Belichick if they want any chance of being able to win the AFC East this year. Doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. By the way, the bad man you mentioned is none other than German-born Jakob Johnson. Lining up. The Patriots got a German fullback dispensing justice in that backfield here. That is the beautiful game of football that we signed up to see, and that is the bottom five from the NFL Week 13 from our friend Chris Canty. Coming up next, we will get back to and explore one of the more and how controversial Christmas takes started by an NBA star. We will get to that after we tell you about Man in the Arena. Now, join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady's meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, the 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Tom Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hate, perfection, and fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena, now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appeared via the Goodyear Hotline. Got to give a shout out to our guests that came on the show today. We had PG-13 Paul George forward for the LA Clippers coming through, giving us his assessment of the NBA season. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL Live co-host and ESPN NFL analyst. And Dennis Collin, who was the kid that was the meme from Popeyes a few years back, and now East Orange High School state champion, state football champion. If you missed any of what we had on our guest front, go to the podcast, Candy and Golic Jr., download, rate, and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. But, Gojo, we have now reached a portion of our show where it's time for us to go three and out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is Three and Out.
Candy and Golic Jr., Three and Out. By the way, Bush just pointed out to me.
Yeah, I know.
Chris, did you purposely admit Marcus Freeman to hate on Notre Dame's great coaching hire?
It slipped my mind. You know, I used to hit people in the head for a living, Gojo. It's hard to kind of bring things back, especially when you did them a couple hours ago. But, I mean, if anybody was going to rightfully point it out, it would be you, right? Proud Notre Dame alum. I mean, nobody was more giddy about the hire and then us having the opportunity to talk to him than you were.
That is true. Chris Caney was really just clearing the way for me to get to talk about my coach again. That's just great teammate 101 right there. Totally understood the assignment here. Glad we brought this up again. So if you missed that, check it out in the podcast because it was awesome. God, he's going to be so good at football. Three and Out brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Speaking of being better at their sport, we got that from Texas Southern. The previously unbeaten 0-7 Texas Southern went on and gave us a headline for the ages here. Swamp Stunner, which sounds like something you need to clear your browser history after you search. They went in and knocked off Florida after being 23.5-point dogs going into Gainesville. They were coming off a 27-point loss to Louisiana Tech, but managed to go out there and get that done. This was pretty impressive stuff here and certainly a knock for the previously 20th ranked Gators.
Yeah, did the head coach from Texas Southern need to call any timeouts to get guys right? Did he need to do that to make sure that they were getting up and down the court playing defense?
Yeah, no, I don't think we saw that JV stuff anymore.
Okay, all right, we put that to the side. Okay, yeah, listen, it's a good win for them. It's a surprise upset, and it's not one of those things that we would see coming, but the name, the title, says it all, right? The Swamp Stunner? Sounds like a wrestling move almost.
That does. That would work really well in the ring. By the way, it should be noted, they became the first Southwestern Athletic Conference team to beat a ranked SEC program in the AP poll era that is dating back to 1936, according to ESPN stats and info. And man, I thought the Gators had had it rough enough in football season already. Someone just leave them alone for a little bit. They're trying to build something. Billy Napier is going to do a great job here.
There you go.
All right, going three and out here on ESPN Radio. Want to give some congratulations to our teammate around here, ESPN MLB insider Tim Kirkjian is the 2022 winner of the Baseball Writers Association of America Career Excellence Award. Tim has covered Major League Baseball for four decades as a writer, as an analyst. He's done an outstanding job here at ESPN for so long. Tim Kirkjian, Chris, I've always said I aspire to see baseball just for one day through the eyes of Tim Kirkjian because his joy for the game makes me each and every year want to be a bigger baseball fan. He has that kind of influence and pound for pound covers his sport as well or better than anyone at our network.
Well, there's no question about it, man. I mean, all things baseball, Tim Kirkjian has got it covered. And you said it, the way that he frames the conversation when it comes to the biggest topics around the sport, I think it's really, really entertaining, and it makes for good storylines. Like, he's the guy that you go to talk about the biggest news around baseball. And I just remember around the All-Star break and the news around Shohei Ohtani and the kind of buzz that was going on. And to me, he perfectly encapsulated it when he said, this is the guy that other guys came to the All-Star game to see, Shohei Ohtani. Guys that normally wouldn't do that, guys that would normally take the time off, they decided to come and play in the All-Star game because Shohei Ohtani was that much of an attraction. And I just go back to that moment and just Tim Kirkjian putting it all into perspective for everybody that was at home watching. So, I mean, he's one of the best in the business. I mean, he's one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet. I remember you were talking about it earlier today, like one of the nicest people that is in the company. And so Tim Kirkjian, can't say enough positive things about him. And, of course, a master at what he does in covering baseball.
And not for nothing, I heard an absolute sniper on the basketball court. Candy and Golic Jr. here finishing up three and out on ESPN Radio. We'd be remiss if we didn't re-up the fact that Josh Hart, the Pelican star, claims that Home Alone is not a Christmas movie. And while he's dead wrong about that, Chris, I can agree in the fact that it is an overrated Christmas movie. I'll make that correction till the day I die.
I just don't understand what about it is overrated. I mean, it's not a bad storyline. It's not terrible. I mean, the kid's at home. He's defending his crib while his parents forgot him when they went on vacation.
Chris, it's a bad take. Just say it. Bad take.
It's a bad take by you, Gojo.
Oh, listen, they don't even have the best Culkin brother in there. Not even close.
I don't know. Well, I don't know how we view that one.
He isn't
there. I don't know if I can go with that.
Coming up next, stick around here on ESPN Radio for coverage of the Jimmy V Classic as Texas Tech takes on Tennessee.